All right. Well, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 24. We're going to start with verse 1. And today we're going to begin a new series it's called A Good Steward. I was trying to find a cool title, but couldn't come up with something better than A Good Steward. How about just being a good steward, you know? That's kind of like the title. And we're going to be on this for a few weeks, and hopefully at the end of this month we're going to have a guest speaker coming in. Spoke with him and he's not sure, he's got some medical thing going on, but I'll make the announcement officially probably next Sunday. But the goal of this series is to be able to hopefully equip you so that you can become a good steward through good stewardship, okay? I know I'm using words that probably you've never heard before, steward and stewardship, stewardship of your time, your talent, your finances, everything that God has given to you, how to be a good steward of what God has given to you and me. Okay, I was Soraya, my one and only daughter. She asked me the question the other day. I mean, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. What's going to be the message for this Sunday? And I said, well, it's going to be on stewardship. And she was like, what is that? So when your child doesn't know what stewardship really is, the real meaning, so it kind of indicates to me a little bit of probably many more other people might not know what that word means. Right? Stewardship. So I gave her the example of the house. I said, the house that we're living in right now, we don't own it. She's like, what? We don't own the house? I'm like, no, we don't. The bank owns it. You know, for real, the bank owns it. I mean, try it. Try to miss a payment. Or a couple of payments, and you'll see very quickly who owns the property, you know. And so I explained that to her, and I don't know if she got it or not, but I think, you know, she understood that we don't own it. I'm like, yeah, that's good enough. As long as you know that we don't own it, but we are responsible for cleaning it. It was Saturday, because Saturday is cleaning day at home, so they all got their chores of what to do. She was cleaning. I was like, well, perfect. You cleaning it is you showing that you're a good steward of what the bank owns. The same is for everything that God has provided for us. We need to be good steward of what God has given to us. We have to be the caretaker. All right? That is really what the word steward means, is someone who is taking care of somebody else's property. That's really the basis of being a steward, is someone who's managing and expanding the property that belongs to someone else. The steward is not the owner. The steward is not the owner. The steward is just the caretaker. I think this is very important that we understand that, because that is a very important distinction that we need to make, that the steward doesn't own anything. The steward is just the manager, the caretaker of what belongs to someone else. From a biblical standpoint, stewardship is, was, and will always be God's idea. It would always be God's idea, where God owns everything. Everything, right? There are no other owners but God. No other owners but God. Let me put it this way. The kingdom of God is like God owning a house. He owns the house, but he also owns everything inside of the house. Everything, the house and all the furniture in the house. He owns the sink, owns the dishwasher, he owns the living room furniture, He owns everything in that house. That is the basis of stewardship. And this is how God, now we got to get a little bit theologically balanced now. So we got to bring it, you know, not just the house. Let's look at what God says in Psalm 24, starting with verse 1. He said, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. Everything. The world and all its people belong to Him. Are you today on planet Earth? We hope in the right place. We're not on a different planet here this morning. We are planet Earth. And guess what he said? He says, the world and all its people belong to Him. So if we are on planet Earth, guess who do we belong to? God. God. Then he says in Psalm 89 verse 11, he says, the heavens are yours, referring to God. The heavens are yours. The earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it all. The Greek word here for everything is everything. Everything. It means everything in it. Above, on, and underneath. Everything belongs to God. The air that you're breathing right now belongs to Him. The grass that you stepped on this morning belongs to Him. The rocks, the gravel, everything that you tread upon this morning belongs to God. The turkey that you put in the oven on Turkey Day belongs to Him. It all belongs to Him. The coffee that you drank this morning belongs to Him. The donut that you ate, no, that belongs to the devil. That belongs to God. The trees that are used to build your home belongs to Him. The trees that are used to print the money or the cotton, whatever they use nowadays, right? To dollar bills. Comes from trees, right? Am I right? Yeah, of course I'm right. Belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. So if God owns everything, then you and I own nothing, right? That should be good enough. There are no other owners but God. Now, if you grab a hold of this principle that you don't own anything, that God owns everything, I would say you've set yourself on a journey of stewardship. That is probably the best way I can actually explain and describe the meaning of stewardship. You don't own Jack. You own nothing. But He owns everything. If you understand that, it's a win. If you understand that this morning and you don't get anything else out of this message, I would say this is a win. You don't own anything. And to be honest with you, I am so happy that I'd own nothing. Because the pressure is not on me. The pressure is on Him. The pressure to keep and to make sure that everything that is given to me is good, is perfect. I don't have to perform to make sure that there is perfection. That's His job. And everything that He does, that He hands down to mankind, it's good. Just look at creation. After He created everything after He created, He said, it's good. It's good. And at the end it says, it is very good. God created everything, and everything that He created, He declared that it was good. Stewardship was God's idea from the beginning of time in Genesis 1:28, after God created man, he created man, and after he created man, he blessed them. He blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea. And all the fishermen here say, hallelujah. Because God said it right there, reign over the fish in the sea. So when you go out fishing, you fishermen that are here this morning, guess what you do? God told me to reign over the fish. So when you cast out your net, guess what you do? You're taking authority over what was already given to you. You were given authority over everything. God said, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry. What is scurry? You like hop along, right? Scurry along the ground. How about that? There's a deer scurrying around the ground. It's yours. It's yours. Do we eat rabbit around here? We do, right? A rabbit goes around hopping and scurrying around. Guess what? It's yours. You were given authority over all of that. What else do we eat? Bird, right? Duck. Whenever duck season, is there a duck season? See, all right, I'm a little out of touch with that kind of aspect of wildlife here locally. For good reason, because there's certain things you don't want me to be involved in. And hunting and fishing is probably not one of them. Okay? Because I'll hurt myself and somebody else. So, God blessed them, gave them authority to govern and to reign over everything. When God blesses, he empowers us to exercise that authority. You and I, we've been empowered by God with the ability to take care of his stuff. That's his stuff. But he's blessed us and empowered us with the ability to take care of his stuff. When he gave them the authority, he gave them the power to do it right. Not to do it in your own way of thinking, but to do it according to the way that he created us. Remember, he created us in what? In his image. So when he wants us to take care of his things, his stuff, he wants us to take care of his stuff the way that he would take care of his stuff. Because we were created in his image, in his likeness. So God wants us to be a good steward of everything that he's given to you and me. It's authority. It's that same seat of authority that we talked about last Sunday. Because in order for us to be a good steward, we need to occupy that seat. Because in the beginning of time, what happened is that, I'm going to leave my notes there for a little bit. I want you to go back to the way that the earth was formed. He said in the beginning that the earth was void, was chaotic. You know why it was void and chaotic? It was void and chaotic because Lucifer and a third of his angel was sent down. And when they came down, everything was chaotic. When God created the earth, he took what was chaotic and he made it into a perfect state of order. Then he started creation. He started putting things, creating things, calling down the heavens, speaking and creating things. He provided order to everything that he created. And after order was established, then he gave mankind the authority to rule and reign. You know why he did it in that kind of order? Because if it is chaotic, we can't rule and reign the way that He wants us to rule and reign. God will always bring a state of order in order for us to exercise His authority. It's a seat that you and I, we occupy. Mankind was at that time given authority to rule and reign over everything that belongs to God. The devil, Satan, because his name was changed from Lucifer to Satan after he was cast down, was no longer in charge of God's stuff. But guess what he did? He came and he tried to gain back that authority that was stripped away from him. That's what he did. So I'll go back there for a minute, but first I want to establish this one thing. This one thing that God put us in charge. God put you and I in charge of everything. Everything that He created. This is how David described it in Psalm chapter 8. And he's referring to a concept of how God views you and me. And I think it's pretty awesome to just read about it, but then to really understand what God is really meaning and entrusting us with such great authority. This is the way David reflected. He says, "What are mere mortals?" That's you and me. That's mankind. That you should think about them. Being human beings, that you should care for them. You've made them a little, only a little lower than God. And crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge, that stewardship, over everything you made, putting all things under their authority. Mankind was given the authority to be a good steward over everything that belongs to God and not the enemy. Not the enemy. Not the enemy. You and I, we were given that level of authority. Mankind became, at that moment, the management team. If you want to put that in some kind of business concept there, John. Mankind became the management team of God's property. We were the one that were going in and making sure that stuff were done. That everything was being exercised in that same order, the same order that God created everything. Everything. That was the stewardship role. The very first thing that God said to man, the very first responsibility was actually to be a good steward. That's it. That was our, remember you say this in the Course God, the one job, right? The one, that was our one job. Our one job was to be a good steward. But somehow, along the way, we forgot about this. We forgot that we were the steward. The very thing that God created us to be. We believe the lie of the enemy. We believe the lie that God was trying to keep something away from us. Can you believe this? God put everything under our authority, and somehow we believe a lie of the enemy who came in and just said that, guess what? God is trying to keep something good from you. Why don't you? Why don't you? Why don't you do this? God is trying to keep away something from you. He never put everything under your authority. No. He's trying to keep away something really good from you. He tempted mankind to believe the lie, and because he believed the lie, that authority, we, mankind, handed that back to the devil. And guess what we believe? We believe the lie that, guess what? We are not steward. We are owners. We say, no. I'm an owner. I own it. And that's the dangerous part of stewardship, is when we start thinking that we own it. We believe the lie of the enemy, thinking that we own it. Oh man, I'm an owner. I'm not a steward. I'm an owner. And because of that concept of ownership, instead of God owning all, because we read those scriptures and this is exactly what it says, God owns everything. And he gave us authority over everything while he still maintained ownership. But we believe the lie. We believe the lie that, guess what? Maybe I own something. Are there any owners here? I hope I don't see any hands up. That would go against everything that we just now read. You'll be very careful from this point on when you say, well, I'm an owner. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, I don't want to own anything. I don't want to own anything. Because I know what comes in to play when I do say, man, that's mine. That's mine. You know, we say this when we're kids. Mine. That's mine. That's mine. Because that's that old nature. We were never trained to actually embrace this new thing. It has to be taught. And I'm so glad that I got this honor actually teaching this in church. Of all places, this is the place where we need to understand stewardship. Because guess what? You're not going to hear stewardship anywhere else. No one is going to teach you that God owns everything. The world wants to teach you that you own something. You own some stocks. You own this. You own a boat. You own a house. You own this. You own everything. But really, do you? Do you? Do you even own your life? Do you even own the air that you're breathing right now? That can be taken away from you just like that. Really, we don't own anything. When you get down to just the basic of life, and you're like, oh man, you know what? I really don't have any control over whether I wake up tomorrow morning. This is ownership. But this is also stewardship of everything that God has given to you. From that point on, we saw ourselves as owners instead of God. We saw ourselves owners of our lives, our destinies, thinking we can actually do it without God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you think that, well, maybe I can do this without God? I have. Many times I have. I can do it. What's the big deal? I mean, this is just a simple thing. I can do it. The moment you say this, you open up the door for the enemy to come in, to make you believe that you're somebody, that you have arrived, that you are an owner. And that's the trap that the enemy wants to set for you and I. But God, in his grace, in his mercy, when he knew that mankind failed way back in the beginning, we failed from the start. I mean, you know, it's not like we went on a little journey and then, you know, further down the road and then we messed up. We messed up right away. God, in his grace and mercy, to restore this balance, sent his son. He sent his son, and it's like God pressed this reset button. Remember, we talk about this global reset. You know, you've heard the word. I mean, Jesus did it. The reset was done two some thousand years ago when God reset everything to bring balance and order again. John 3:16 says, For this is how God loved the world. He gave. God demonstrated stewardship. He gave. See, God will never ask us to do something that He will never do Himself. God gave out of Himself. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. God did it to remind us. He did it to remind us that He's the owner. He's the owner of everything, including life. That is Him as the owner of your life. If He's the owner of your life, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. This is Him claiming ownership of your life. So why would anyone want to own their own lives, their own destinies, and their own bodies? Why? Owning your own life also means you are owning your past. Owning your own life means you're owning your own guilt, your own shame. Do you want to own that? Who wants to own? If you say you want to own your own life, I'm in charge of my life. I'm in charge. I'm the captain of my destiny. I can do whatever I want to do. If you want to own that, you got to own your shame, your guilt, your past, everything about you that you don't like yourself when you look in the mirror. Guess what? You got to own all of it. If you want to say, I want to claim everything as my own, guess what? You got to own that part as well. And this is the part that, no, Jesus died for that one. No, Jesus died for that thing. That thing is ugly. That Jesus died for that one. But not my life. I want to be the captain of my own life. How far would we go if we think like that? Are we going to be able to be a good steward of what God has already blessed us if we start thinking we own it? Probably not. Because there cannot be two owners. There can only be one owner, and that is God. I'm thinking about Lindsay for some reason. I'm remembering a word that you have written on your sign. What did you say this there? I can't remember. No, if you don't like your if you don't like your new body, we'll give you your old one back. That's written in the gym. It's gym theology. If you don't like your new body, we'll give you your old one back. Anybody wants to go get their old body back? Some of them say, well, yeah, I used to look good. I want that old body back. Not me. My old body was not that great. I want my new body, the one that I'm going to get even after this, my glorified body, my glorified six-pack body. That's what I want. That's what I want. But listen to how Paul says it, okay? Some of you wish you didn't have that donut today. Some of you feeling guilty right now. Especially after I'm going to read this there. Wow. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Not my words. These are not my words, believe me. Verse 19 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Wow. Who lives in you and was given to you by God. People are looking down because they just had this donut. You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. Right there it's saying, you don't own yourself if you are with Christ. You've been bought with a high price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of God. You don't own it. He does. Now, why am I making a big deal out of this? Because you probably can't tell. I'm kind of like egging it on a little bit. Well, this is the foundation of the series. So I have the liberty of doing that for a little bit. But then we're going to get a little bit deeper into the subject of stewardship. Why am I doing this? When God owns it all, surrendering your life to Him is not a big deal. That's why I'm doing this. When God owns it all, it's not hard to surrender your life to Him. When God owns it all, using your talents to serve in the church is not a big deal. I'm going to say this again with a big smile on my face, because that's very important. When God owns it all, serving in the house of God is not a big deal. Because, yes, thank you. Two amens. Absolutely. When God owns your talents, your gifts, it's not hard to serve because He's getting the glory for what He's already given to you. And He wants you to be a good steward over it. So serving becomes easy. Serving becomes a joy. Serving comes with you having a smile on your face as you show up at 8:30 in the morning. Right, Jesse? As you show up at 8:30 in the morning, you got a smile. You got a sprint. I mean, you're coming in and you're ready to worship. That's the way I come in most of the time. I come in with a smile on my face after I yell at my kids, get ready, let's go. But I'm excited to be in church. It's all a matter of perspective when we start realizing that what we have was given to us. The gifts, the talents that we have was given to us. I wasn't given the gift of singing. But that's okay. Jesse's got it. And if Jesse's got it, that's good enough. We don't need multiple singers that can sing as good as Jesse. One is good. That's all we need. This is the way that God uses gifts and talent within the body of Christ. What if everybody could sing as good as Jesse? That would not be good, right, Jesse? That would be chaotic. That would be like chaos. Can you imagine if all of you can fit up here to actually lead worship? That would be terrible. Who would do kids' church? Seriously, hallelujah, Jesus, help. Next week I'm serving in kids' church. Somebody else is going to come and do this. But what I'm saying is that when your talents, your gifts belong to Him, serving becomes part of what you do. When God owns it all, giving away your finances, sowing into the kingdom of God is part of what you do. Because it was never yours to start with. You only being a good steward. I share with you a little story. Seems like today I've got my funny bones. long time ago, Don and I were still in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're in college, and one day God told me to give my Versace shirt to someone. I'll get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not giving this away. A brand new Versace. You remember that? A brand new Versace shirt. And I remember arguing with God. Like, hey, this is mine. So I remember what God said to me. So you own that shirt, right? So you own that shirt, right? My heart was not right. Because I was the owner. And I'm not meant to be the owner if I'm in Christ. He owns it all. So I gave away the shirt. I mean, that was just the beginning. A few years later, I did cry, didn't I? I was sad a little bit. And then a few years later, it was my car. I am like, Lord, it's my car. Why? But then I was like, I got a little smart at that point. You know, I kind of like, you know, there's a pattern here that God is trying to set. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Parting away with the Versace shirt was not that big deal. Parting away with the car, well, should not be that big deal. So I gave that away. God has a way of working with you the moment you start realizing that you are not the owner. When you are not the owner, giving generously comes second nature. When you listen to Him. And lost my spot. I don't even know where I'm at. Stewardship, good stewardship, comes from a giving heart. That's the key. When you develop that giving heart, that is how you tap into the principle of stewardship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, remember this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Verse 6 refers to generosity as a seed that you plant. You know, that's an eternal principle that God sent into motion, right? In Genesis 8:32, it says, as long as the earth remains, there would be seed time and harvest. You would always, that's an eternal principle of sowing and reaping. I don't know if you know this, but generosity is contagious. When you hang around people that are generous, you become generous. If you hang around stingy people, guess what? You know, you walk around like this just in case if somebody's going to try to get something out of you. But when you're generous, you're free. You're free. You're free to give. You look out for this opportunity to bless someone. You look out. I love it when I go to a restaurant, when I see somebody sitting there who has no clue who we are. We want to pay for that person there. Just bring the bill to us. Then we sit and we watch faces light up. Where'd that come from? Who did that? That's what it is. Generosity would breed generosity. It has nothing to do with how much you have. You can have a lot or you can have little. I've been around people that have a lot, but they are the stingiest people I've met. But I've been around people who have very little. But they will do anything for you. They will take off their shirt off their back and give it to you, even if it is a Versace shirt. You know, I mean, this is what generosity is. It has nothing to do with how much you have. I'm going to brag on you guys a little bit. I got some numbers that I wanted to share with you. I would say you guys are the most generous church that I know. Seriously. You guys are the most generous church that I know. Very generous. Just give you some numbers. Last year, we've sowed over $30,000 to world outreach and mission. That's just last year. That's pretty awesome for just a small church like ours. $30,000 that we sent out. Locally, we sent $5,000 plus. There's more than that we sent out to missions locally. We find ways to bless people who can't pay their bills. We do it discreetly, privately. Somebody needs something, we're going to be the one responding to that. That's the way we've always operated. I believe because we are good stewards of what we receive, we are able to do this. Because the more we give, guess what God does? The more He gives back. Because He's recognizing that these people, they don't own anything. Because they don't own anything, I can give them stuff. Because they will not hold on to it. They will pass it through to somebody else. That's how we operate. We paid off a $56,000 debt last year. We are 100% debt free. This is pretty amazing. Hallelujah. This is God, because God owns everything. He owns it all. And just last week when my single friend, my Indian single friend that came in, we were able to send him with $4,000 as a love offering. That's not too bad, right? This is from the generosity that is bred inside of this church. Because you guys are good, good steward. So don't stop. Don't stop being generous. Because there's a purpose to the seed that you put in the ground. Amen. They will multiply, and someday, somehow, you're going to reap it in ways that you don't even know. Where does that come from? Oh, I don't know. Well, that's because you put seed in the kingdom of God. The law of sowing and reaping will never cease, will never stop. That's how the kingdom of God works. He owns everything. And He's entrusted you and I with the responsibility and the authority to take care of His stuff. Stewardship is the motivation of the heart. I don't know if you noticed, but we don't actually pass a basket, a plate, a bucket, or whatever you call these things anyway. We don't do this. Not that we are against the principle of doing it. We're not. But we want the giving to be a motivation of the heart. We want the Holy Spirit, God, to work on your heart, whatever it might be, so that your heart is motivated as a steward of what God has given to you, instead of feeling the pressure to give. In verse 7, it says this: you must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. The key to stewardship is to develop a cheerful heart in giving. Giving with a smile. Not like, oh my gosh, I'm giving away this Versace shirt. It stinks, Lord. No, maybe that was the feeling in the beginning. But after you've given, it's like, oh, hallelujah, look at that. I'm able to bless somebody with this. That's the giving heart that God wants us to have. And then it says this in verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. What a wonderful place. Well, we have more than enough to meet our need. We are dripping with excess stuff, where we can say, there's a need there. Oh, that's me. I'll take care of that. That's the way that God wants the body of Christ to be. That's the way that God wants Christians to behave. When we pay, when we're gonna tip our waitress, we do it generously, extravagantly, beyond what they expect. Because we are a liberal giver. That's the only way where we can actually use the term liberal, probably in a good sense. We are a liberal giver. We give freely to people Because that's the nature of God. Remember, in the beginning, we were created in His image, in His likeness. And guess what? God is a liberal giver. He gives us everything that we need. Way beyond sometimes. It blows my mind how much God takes care of us. Of everything that we need. Don't have time to go through this one. In 1996, after I gave my life to Christ, God told me to leave England. He said, you need to leave there. And you're going to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you're going to go to Oral Roberts University. And that was the calling, by the way. That was the calling. That was what God called me to do. Because when I was a Hindu, never knew Christ, never set foot in a church, never opened up a Bible in my life. And you guys know the story. We don't have time to go through all of this. But I walked into a place where I heard the voice of God. When God gave me hope, gave me direction, gave me a vision, gave me a calling. And I knew that was His calling on my life. That I was supposed to go to college in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, you know, when you're a sophomore in college, I was a sophomore at the time, and on a ramen noodle budget, you don't have any way of saving anything to actually go to college. Because in England, it's free, and where I'm going is going to cost a lot of money. Money that I don't have. And I remember one day as I stepped into a conference, a prayer service conference, and as I stepped into this conference, heavy on my heart was, Lord, what do I do with the calling? How's that going to work? I don't have the money. I can't go to the place where You call me to go. Well, little did I know that when God gives you a calling, He owns the calling. You don't own the calling, He does. And if He owns the calling, who is responsible to pay for the calling? He is responsible. I remember leaving this place, long story, but you know, it was in this place, it's called the London Arena. This is where they do big concert, Michael Jackson, all the top artists would be there doing this big thing. And I walked into this place and an usher was walking in. There was 10,000 some people out there. This usher was walking by and this preacher was talking and he said, somebody's been called to go to a place, a university that he doesn't know. He doesn't even know if he should go. He said those words 3-4 times, and then he narrowed it down to, this person is not going because of finances. And I remember I'm sitting in my chair. I'm a new believer. I never knew that God would actually talk to people about my stuff. I mean, who does that? I mean, I've never heard of people walking by and on a platform over there could read my mail. Could tell me stuff about me that only that person would know. I never told that to anybody. Certainly not those 10,000 people that were in that service. This usher was walking by as they kept praying. She's walking around and then she looked at me and said, it's you. I'm like, you must be crazy, lady. Because it is not me. I remember saying, no. This is me like Peter denying Christ. I was like, no, it's not me. She's like, no, I can see it on you. It's you. I'm like, okay. How do you respond to that kind of thing? I don't know how to respond. I'm like, well, yeah, I think so. Then I was like, well, you know, God said that a few months ago that I'm supposed to be doing this. But, you know, it's not going to work. It's never going to work. Because guess what? I thought the calling was mine to keep. It was mine to fulfill, mine to make sure that it gets accomplished. But that day I realized it was not mine, it was God's. The moment I released that into the hands of God, guess what? The funds came. I didn't realize, Lord Jesus, what happened here? Guess what? God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. When you put Him first, when you realize that He is the owner and not you. I graduated 100% debt free as a result of just believing that I don't own anything. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is freedom for me. Just realizing that it was not mine, but it was His. When it's God's will, it's God's bill. That's the way it works. When it is God's will, it is God's bill. You hand it over to Him. That's the way that stewardship works. As simple as that, I know I've given you a whole lot. But stewardship is simply this. Realizing that you don't own anything. But He does. That's it. I think, Jesse, we need to wrap it up. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't even, you know. I'm trying to think, like, if because I can keep going. Because I get excited about what God does with very little. When you just trust Him. And when you just say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm trusting You. And that's the way He operates. I don't have time to read 1 Peter. We're just going to leave that alone. It's in your notes so you can read it. First Peter 4:10. I just feel like I need to say it. Okay, I'll just say it real quickly. Preach fast. God has given each of you a gift. From His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well. To what? Serve one another. In the New King James, it actually says it this way. To be a good steward. Then he goes on and he describes a few of these gifts. Then at the end he says, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. God reminds us to be good stewards of the gifts and talents He has given to us. A good steward is a good servant. A good servant does not seek his or her own glory, but brings glory back to God. That's how a good servant would behave. I don't know if you know this, but this church operates 100% on stewardship. That's why I'm so passionate about it. Because without stewardship, we don't exist. Without stewardship, we don't have a church. Every week, we have a team of volunteers. These are people that don't get paid. A team of volunteers that show up every Sunday, sometimes Saturday, sometimes throughout the week, to make sure that you have the most amazing worship experience ever. When I'm talking about worship experience, I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about a worship experience the moment you set foot on the church ground as you're walking in. People are right there greeting you. People are strategically placed in many other places to make sure that your kids are taken care of. That you have a parking space. That when there's snow on the ground, somebody's coming in and make sure that things are plowed, things are ready. It's all part of the worship service. Because we've all come here to worship the owner. If we were the owner, guess what? We've come to the wrong place. the place where we can only worship ourselves. But we are not here to worship ourselves, our gifts, our talents. We are here to worship the owner, the one who owns everything. That's why we're here. So I want to invite you to be a good steward. I know I can preach, I can teach, but being a good steward is all about doing. It's on-the-job training. That's how you learn how to be a Christian. You can't just read it in a manual, in a book. How can I be a good Christian? Step number one. Step number two, this is what I need to do. It doesn't work like this. You just embark on a journey. And you allow God to speak to you along this journey. It's a wonderful journey. Isn't that amazing when you're on this journey? You have the Creator, the owner, who walks beside you. Who whispers sweet stuff to you. Isn't that amazing? When you're feeling down, you have the Creator of the universe coming in and saying, "Hey, I'm on your side. You can do it. Remember, I'm with you. Remember my promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Remember what I did for you on the cross. Your past, your shame, your guilt, I took care of that for you. So that you don't have to deal with it right now. So you walk on this journey without carrying any baggage of the past." That's the owner that we're talking about. That's the owner. The question I have for you this morning is, does he own your life? If you haven't made that decision, you need to. You need to let him be the owner of your life, of your calling, of your destiny, and not try to do it by yourself. That's where we fail. That's where we don't get it right. But we serve a gracious God that would extend grace, mercy unto us. So I want to invite you to join I'm not as good looking at this lady out there. I want to invite you to join us to be a steward, where you show that you are the caretaker of the gifts and talent that God has given to you. I believe we all have it. We all have gifts. We all have talents. Right in front of your seat, you'll have one of these cards. It said, "Oceans Serve Teams." We have many of them. Number one is Ocean Kids. That's a good way to start. You want to be tested? You want to be challenged? You want to grow. You want to take care of the little ones the way that God take care of us, the little ones. That's a great place to serve. First impression. That's where you come and you start greeting people the same way that you were greeted when you came in this morning. Hopefully somebody said hi to you. Hopefully somebody will greet you on your way out. There's so many places where you can serve. Would you please fill one of these out and then hand them over to Miss Lori right there? There's Miss Lori right there. And Miss Haley right here. And Mr. Luke right here. Would you fill this out and connect with these people? connect with them. Would you please stand? Let's pray. I know it's taking a little bit long, but this is the foundation of stewardship. This is where we start. Let's pray, and then you guys can go and enjoy the sun. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the teaching that we've all have received that frees us to be just the caretaker where you are the owner of everything, Lord God. You own it all. Our lives, our calling, our destinies. Lord, we put them at your feet. Do as you please in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.